This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
92.9 Podcasts powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at Action247.com. Now it's time for the Jason and John Show. Respect Burgers. Sizzlin' Respect Burgers, served hot and fresh from Jason and John.
Justin Tucker is the greatest kicker of all time. Refute it!
Respect.
I just can't.
John, Martin, and I are finally going to agree today?
Yes.
We agree on Seth Hennigan's greatness. There's no doubt about that.
Nah, that's not factual.
Or his goodness.
Justin Tucker made a 66-yarder as time expired against the Detroit Lions. Now, first, I feel bad for them Lions.
I can't help it. I've watched them folks invent new ways to lose for years.
That was brutal.
And it was over. I mean, you had Lamar in 4th-and-19, couldn't get out of it. You get, and then in the end, you know, it ends up being a 66-yarder where Tucker had missed 65-yard attempts in the pregame warm-ups. So thinking he was going to make a 66 was crazy. And yet he did. You saw the kick, I'm sure, by now. If you hadn't, you need to go look at it because he almost runs up to it to kick it. I don't know if you guys noticed the hop he takes to get to it. You can tell to put the extra leg that he knows he's going to need to get. And that thing bounces off the crossbar and not just drips over in. Bounce off the crossbar, jumps up, hits the net. I mean, no, he wouldn't have hit it from 67 because it would have come up short and not hit the crossbar, but that thing had some momentum on it, and it had to. An NFL record, 66 yards, like we said, the longest in NFL history, gave Baltimore a crazy 19-17 victory over Detroit. I'm not giving Baltimore the respect burger. That is all for Justin Tucker. Do you realize he's the most clutch kicker we've ever seen? Because he's 16 for 16 in his NFL career on field goals in the final minute of regulation. How about that?
Wow.
That's called perfect.
Damn.
And that's how you put that.
That's amazing.
With the NFL record kick, he's the best kicker in history. And those aren't my words. I'm now quoting John Harbaugh, but I'm right with him.
Yeah.
I don't think you can make a case against him. He had a 61-yard field goal, won the Ravens' last game at Ford Field against the Lions 8 years ago with a 61-yarder. So he's done this before. There, get this one. There have been only 7 go-ahead field goals of 60-plus yards in the final minute in NFL history, and Tucker is the only kicker with multiple ones. He's the only one that's got a bunch of them. And I just read you the other one, the 61-yard he had against Detroit 8 years ago. He's an absolute stud. He's a weapon, a guy that can make kicks from that far. And, my gosh, the Detroit Lions sitting there at 0-3 that did everything they could to win that game. And then, you know, except for giving up that 4th-and-19 to Lamar that helped set it up. I think he hit my man Marquise Hollywood Brown on that one as well. So Baltimore finds a way to escape defeat, but I still think they got issues. There's no question about it. But this ain't about that. This is about their kicker being the best that we have ever seen. I'll be real honest with you. I thought the game was over. I had a little Pat McAfee super boost riding on the Baltimore Ravens winning. And I'll hand it to my guy John Martin because he said when they got the ball back, that with Justin Tucker, maybe you still got a chance.
Yeah.
Even though there's only, what, like 17, 19 seconds left, Baltimore absolutely had a chance because they had Justin Tucker.
What's very sad is that the game should have been over before the field goal ever even happened.
Well, they should not have given up the 4th-and-19.
Well, I'm saying, though, like the delay of the game should have been called. Like that there was the snap, Lamar did not get off in time. The play clock had expired. The game should have been over.
You sound like a Detroit fan now.
Well, I'm not, but I mean,
you could say that.
I'd be mad as hell. First of all, I'd be mad as hell anyway because I'm a Detroit Lions fan. Like, I just live in a perpetual state of anger. But I would also be very mad at the way that game went down and the way it ended. I
mean, they can all be mad at themselves, though, giving up a 4th-and-19. You want to blame the officials, you can.
Yeah.
But you had Baltimore dead to rights and you gave
it
up.
But the Raiders gave up 4th-and-20 and still won.
But we didn't say Mississippi State's got a case on the officiating thing and say, oh, man, they got a reason
to be crying. No, they didn't give the ball back to the official.
We said stop crying and move on.
Give
and
the ball back to the official.
So blaming a ref when you had a chance to stop him on 4th-and-19, I just can't do that with you. And Lions fans certainly know. You got to go out and get it yourself because the gods are going to be against you. There's no question about it. But shout out to Justin Tucker, who's the greatest of all time. Nails a 66-yarder to give the Baltimore Ravens a, I guess, hard-earned 19-17 victory over Detroit. All right. You could give a respect burger to Aaron Rodgers because of what he does, right, if you leave any time left on that clock. I was just telling my Packers friend, Barbara, that what was Jimmy G thinking after scoring, smiling as big as he was? Because if you studied Aaron Rodgers at all, you would have not been smiling because, you know, you would have asked yourself, you would have said, did we leave too much time left on that clock? Jimmy was smiling like that thing was done. 37 seconds is too much, especially when you've got a kicker like Mason Crosby and a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. But the respect burger is for neither one of them. The respect burger is for Davante Adams, who, if you were watching that game last night, first off, he shouldn't have been playing. You talk about a call that was missed. There was a helmet-to-helmet for Davante Adams that about knocked him out. It looked like almost into unconsciousness. It was Jimmy Ward of the Niners. Physical, physical ball game. And there was a helmet-to-helmet in that game where it looked like Devontae had been put to sleep on the field. He ends up getting up, walking off, coming back into the game, and that's a whole set of another different questions about, well, I mean, should he have been in concussion protocol after a helmet to, it was really a helmet to chin.
Mm-hmm.
Ward hit him in his chin. He comes back and catches the final two passes from Aaron to get them into field goal range for Crosby.
Yep.
Davante Adams is an absolute beast. 12 receptions, 132 yards, one touchdown, and he shouldn't have been playing after taking a hit like he did. The dude is tough as nails.
He's the second best receiver in the league behind Darnell Mooney.
And he just got he's in a contract year, by the way, where he's even telling folks, I don't know if I'm going to be playing with Aaron next year.
Nah, bro, you understand he's going to be with the Raiders next year, right? Like, it's a lot.
Y'all getting Aaron Rodgers too?
No, we're getting Davante Adams.
Just Davante.
Yeah, because Davante Adams and Derek Carr were college teammates at Fresno State.
That's what I've heard this before out of you. You told us before.
It's going to happen.
Why would you need him when you got Edwards and Renfro and Ruggs?
Why do we need the
Waller?
Best receiver in the game? Why do humans need oxygen?
I mean, y'all 3-0.
Yeah, dude.
Right? You're a Super Bowl contender, according to you.
We would be a real contender if we had Davante Adams.
Well, you're going to have to pay Davante Adams best receiver in the game type money.
No problem.
Yeah, I can't wait to see y'all go do that.
No problem. I'm telling you.
That'd be the first smart thing that Mark's ever done.
Will you please remember this? September 27, 2021, if he hits the open market, he will be a member of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Who was the sideline reporter last night?
I don't know.
Because I think it was her that said, if I'm not mistaken, that he would consider going where Aaron goes. And Aaron ain't going to y'all.
No, Aaron, he's not going with
Not with the season that Derek Carr's having.
He's not going with Aaron.
You're not
going
to get Derek Carr out of there.
Where's Aaron going? Is he going to Denver?
If he went to Denver, now Bridgewater got them 3-0, but that's a dog schedule
they played. Davante Adams is not going to Denver to be against Derek Carr in that division.
He might go with his guy is my point.
Bro, Derek Carr is his guy. They tweet all the time.
I don't care. They're
Adams
a former college teammate.
All the time says your hair is growing out.
That's fine.
Why would you not want to play Derek Carr 300 yards each game this year?
I want to compete for a Super Bowl every year.
Yeah,
and he's got that chance anytime he's with Aaron Rodgers, not you guys.
If they had Davante Adams, would be
my
on
gosh,
that
you folks
cusp.
Go 3-0 and think you're God's gift to football.
No, but we would be on the cusp of being a contender if we added Davante Adams. That's a fact. Especially with how our defense has come along.
Aaron Rodgers had 37 seconds left. And, again, both of those passes to get them into range for Crosby, who hit from over 50, went to Davante after he got a massive shot that would have knocked most humans out for good. So, respect burger to Davante Adams. Green Bay moves to 2-1. Aaron playing pretty well now. Third respect burger.
Next story.
Next story, baby.
Respect.
Thank you. Sam Pittman, his name is.
My God.
Oh, boy, this is great. Very good call here, Jason.
I would tell you that Sam Pittman's the best deal in the SEC.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
New polls out yet? I think
eight.
They are.
He's number eight.
And he's up to number eight from number 16 after their 20-10 win over previously number 7 Texas A&M. All they do is get it done.
Yeah.
That quarterback, Jefferson, threw for 202, couple of long touchdowns. Remember, Texas A&M's defense had been highly regarded coming into this game. You're able to do it. We'd also said, well, Arkansas's got a defense too, and they showed against Texas A&M, again, holding them to just 10 points. I know it's Texas A&M's backup, but again, that was the top 10 ranked team. Sam Pittman wasn't supposed to be doing this at Arkansas this
quickly. None of us called this. Nobody called this, right?
On $3 million per year, he is the best deal in the SEC. Did you see him after games? He's talking about play that damn jukebox. You see all the features on him and on Arkansas, and you got to feel good. Former offensive line coach for over 30-something years. What was he at Georgia before they went and hired him? I know Arkansas had eyes for Kiffin at one point. That didn't work out, so they start looking around, and Sam Pittman saying, hey, me, I want my shot as a head coach, and look at how they have been rewarded. Some folks in Memphis can't stand Arkansas, so don't want to hear anything about what old Pig Suey's doing, but this is a fantastic thing for a football program that absolutely needed the shot arm, man.
No question.
What he's brought in terms of the pride back, it's night and day over there.
No, he's amazing,
that thing was dead. It was
crazy.
That program
crazy.
Had flatlined.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I did not think it was going to work when they hired him.
No, nobody did.
I mean, he was an assistant for 36 years.
We were making fun of him just going, yes, sir, and saying, oh, you think that's going to work? Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? You're trying to, you know, but he has been nothing short of remarkable there.
It's very true.
And back
it's true.
That point, it's not just having them believe in. They're playing good football.
Yeah, right.
And you're starting to wonder just, you know, I suppose how good they can be this season.
I figured,
I'm not going to lie to you, I bet against them this weekend because I thought at some point the dream going to die.
Yeah.
Like Jimbo's getting paid $100 million, right, at some point.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
The better, higher paid coach is going to beat you.
Yeah.
Like that's why I call him the best deal in the SEC. And at this point, Sam Pittman, I'm starting to believe he can do anything. Last one at this point, and a little bit different, a little bit off. You kind of do this sometimes, especially when deserved. All of the first responders, those Kroger employees that through something most of us can't even fathom, were able to run to the danger, right? Kroger employees helping lead customers and other employees out. Man, I can't do anything but respect and salute that because I'm not built for it. And I'd like to think it put in that situation, I would think about others' lives, but I also think that there's probably a good chance that if I'm seeing somebody, that I'm thinking about myself. You understand what I'm saying? Sure, if I got my family with me, that's another thing. But to all the first responders, like we said, that's their gig. And again, it's one that not all of us could do. But to, again, the Collierville, you know, police, all of it that had to respond last Thursday to the tragedy at Kroger. Nothing but respect, man. And again, especially for those workers in there at Kroger who you're dealing with fear, you're dealing with a situation you're not trained for, and you have the presence of mind and the bravery to look to others, to see customers, to help lead them out the back. It was a, you know, it could have been so much worse.
Yes,
if not for all those brave souls that that responded so quickly. So much respect, the most respect we could lay on anyone.
Amen.
To all of those folks.
Needless to say, the disrespect dog this
Matt
week.
Nagy, please. Matt Nagy, please. Give it to him. Give it to him. Please, John.
No,
do me one favor.
It's going to Kyrie Irving. It's going to Kyrie Irving. Who doesn't seem to get it about in any way, shape, or form. You don't want to get the COVID shot. You want to risk your teammates. You want to give up home games. That's fine. But you got to be prepared to defend your stance because it is a very public job you're in, and people pay for season tickets, and it affects your job on the court. He's asking people privacy, please, please, privacy. You know, but when people are invested in it, and it is literally your job, and it is impacting your job, you don't get to just hide behind privacy. You have to answer for your decision. And he has not done that at all in any way, shape, or form. His aunt in this piece with the Rolling Stone called Dr. Fauci Dr. Fauci. It's embarrassing for the league. It's embarrassing for the league the way that Kyrie is conducting himself. And I wish there was somebody that he would listen to. You know, I wish there was somebody that he trusted. But this is a bad look. It's a black mark for the NBA. There's no question about that. You know, Kevin Durant says they'll figure it out. and he'll eventually be with the team. But this is a disaster. This is a disaster.
You see where the NBA said no to the exemption for Wiggins?
Yep. Yep.
The religious exemption.
Yep. And I'm glad they did, because that's come on. Even Enes Kanter in the piece was like, we gotta bring these two things together, religion and science. We gotta bring these two things together. You know, it's a disaster for the NBA, and they better get it figured out. They better get it figured out. I've lost all respect for Kyrie Irving. It's been trending this way. They're flat earth stuff. You know what I mean? Kyrie Irving, enjoy the dog this week. Enjoy the.
If I would give one to the Bears, but you're the disrespect.
That's
dog.
Right. That's
but,
right.
And but no, absolutely, I get it with what you're saying there. He's trying to convince others that.
Right. I mean, you
science
have,
is wrong in this case.
Yeah, you have, you know, the Memphis Grit. Look,
it's one thing if it's just saying, okay, it's my choice, right?
For sure.
But it's another thing when you're now the epidemiologist,
right.
That knows more than epidemiologist.
That's exactly right.
Dude, you're
exactly
on,
right.
Come on, bro.
Like, look, I mean, I think
outside the world reality,
skepticism is a very natural thing to have in this situation. Okay, I understand skepticism to a point, you know, but when you sort of, I think I saw a tweet that said Kyrie Irving is contrarian without a cause. It's just so true. Like, he's anti for the sake of it. Like, you don't even, like, this is, the earth is flat. No COVID. I mean, it's just like, what are you doing, man? It's not just about COVID. It's about the way his career has gone, you know, since leaving LeBron James. It's just like, when he had LeBron there and he had that structure and he had that expectation and he had to be a pro, it worked pretty well for him, you know? Leaves LeBron's atmosphere, and you have to say it's been pretty damn bad for him.
Space age foolishness.
No, he lives in outer space.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there you go. We send disrespect dogs up there too. We send disrespect dogs to outer space. We'll come back. Jason Fitz is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about NFL, NBA, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.3 FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And as promised, he is undefeated. He is 3-0. He is waking up feeling really good today. He is the great Jason Fitz. He joins us every single Monday here on the show. Catch him on Spain and Fitz. Follow him on Instagram where you get Fitz's sips every, was it every Sunday now? Are you doing that every Sunday or every weekend? What's
every
that?
Sunday.
What's the schedule?
You know, every Sunday, sip a little whiskey and then give everybody the Captain Obvious observations they didn't know they needed for a Sunday. You know, I'm just capturing the true element of an analyst.
Absolutely. He's all over ESPN. He joins us. Now, look, before we get into the NFL, and we're going to get into the NFL because there was so much to get to from the weekend. We're actually at Grizzlies Media Day here in Memphis. NBA teams and franchises are holding their media days, and it's a weird time because, you know, things are coming back in terms of just like the normalcy and the routine in terms of, you know, availabilities. Kyrie Irving, however, will not be at the Brooklyn Nets availability because of the New York City COVID-19 proof of vaccine requirement. And I'm sure by now that you have seen the story from Rolling Stone about Kyrie and his aunt and sort of his feelings on the vaccine. What do you think
what do you think the upshot for the league is? Are they handling this poorly? What could they do differently? What do you just sort of make of the COVID vaccine situation and the NBA as we get ready to kick off training camp?
Well, I think the problem is we got to accept at some point that the NBA is limited by whatever they want to do because it's not their rules to make. I mean, yes, the NBA could step in and say, hey, we're going to require everybody to be COVID vaccinated. Then it would be their rule to make. But realistically, when you start talking about not just Kyrie, but also talking about Andrew Wiggins, you're talking about guys that have made it clear that they don't want to be vaccinated in cities that don't have any wiggle room. Like, this isn't just an NBA issue. This is a local legislation issue. And frankly, no matter what a player individually wants to do, if there are local legislation mandates, there's nothing they're going to be able to do to get around that. I mean, you can't change the fact that if there's more than 1,000 people in a building, they're requiring some sort of vaccination in California, for example. And Wiggins says, well, I don't want it. Well, cool. Like, people in hell want ice water. Like, you don't always get what you want in these situations. So we keep talking about the league and the players, but the league and the players are not above whatever the legislation says they must do. So I think this is absolutely – Kyrie's going to keep hitting a wall here.
This week in the NFL, Justin Tucker, the 66-yarder. A lot of wins. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, what he did there. But that 66-yarder, obviously an NFL record. Should we be more concerned about Baltimore – Fitzy, I know we're talking a lot about that field goal. Or are they going to end up the same team, the AFC contender that maybe we thought before the season they're going to be?
No, I'm really concerned about Baltimore. Like, nothing has come easy, obviously. And, you know, the first couple of weeks you could excuse it and say maybe it was against opponents that could turn out to be pretty good. But right. At the same time, I mean, are they? Like, are the Chiefs who we're used to the Chiefs being? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Are the Raiders legit? I'd like to think so, but I'm looking squarely at the Lions, and there's no reason you can get challenged to that level. And the fact that they haven't been able to get anything going speaks to the injuries, and the injuries don't take care of themselves. Like, that's going to take time. So I think Baltimore is just one of those cursed teams bit by the injury bug this year. When that happens, I don't know what works around that, honestly. Like, I think Baltimore's sort of stuck. The one advantage that they have is that other than Cleveland, I'm not sure there's anything in their division that's worth being scared of, right? So maybe their hope is that Cleveland doesn't turn out to be that great and they can compete that way. But if Baltimore thinks that they're going to be able to sneak their way in as a wild card, I don't think that's real either. So it's time to start getting some pressure there for the Ravens to figure out what to do on an injury-riddled offense or just turn around and say, man, this just isn't our year.
So who is the best team in the AFC, Fitzy? If it, you know, you guys in Denver are sitting there 3-0, but I got a feeling you're not going to say, you even though it's been a great start, not going to say, would you say it's the Bills at 2-1? Titans at this point now 2-1. Who would you say right now is looking the best in the AFC?
No, I think it's still the Bills, and I know that we're all sort of shook by their week one loss and how it looked. But I mean, Josh Allen and that offense can score on anybody, and that defense is good enough. You know, it's not, I won't say that it's a top five defense in the NFL, but it's a very good defense, right? So I keep looking at Buffalo saying it's a well-coached team. They know exactly how to run their system. I feel really good about the Bills. The Titans still have something to prove in my mind. And frankly, I know that you can look at it and say, well, they had a -3 turnover differential and still beat the Colts. But they beat a Colts team that, again, like in the world of year-to-year in the NFL, that Colts offensive line is bad. The Colts, Carson Wentz was a statue back there because of his ankles. And I'm not sure that I look at the Colts roster and think they're anywhere near as good as I thought they would be. So still a prove-it runway left ahead of the Titans to me. I think the Bills are the cream of the conference.
They certainly did look like it yesterday. Look, we've talked about this before, but yesterday was the first real major test for Matt Stafford and the Rams, and they passed with flying colors. I mean, I know they scored a sort of garbage time touchdown there late to make it look a little closer than it was, but they controlled that game, and Matt Stafford was basically flawless. I don't know about you, Fitz, but it's almost like a shame because you see how great Matt Stafford is when he has a system and a scheme and a coach and actual talent around him. Almost feel bad that like he toiled away in Detroit for so long and he's on the back end of his career. You just wonder, like, how great would Matt Stafford have been if he had a situation like the Rams for his whole career?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the questions that, you know, I wasn't sure, to be honest, because I've seen so many people talk about Stafford coming in, and I kept thinking, I don't know, like, can it just be the team? And then you see him playing a combination of this is Stafford, combination of it is Sean McVay having a better set of ingredients to cook with by having him in the basket. Like, I think all of that together shows you how much system and coaching matters to the success that we do or don't see from players, frankly. And also, it's a reminder that, yeah, like at some point, we are going to have a real conversation about Stafford if he goes on. I mean, I picked the Rams to go to the Super Bowl this year. Mm-hmm. If that actually happens, then Stafford's going to be mentioned the same way, albeit not as a Hall of Famer, but the same way as Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders, as guys that were wasted for Detroit. Because if you start thinking about what they had there, if he is an epic franchise caliber, I can win a Super Bowl with him quarterback, and they didn't manage to do anything with him, that's got to be on the organization. It's a huge black eye for the Lions.
Would you say that Tampa Bay is still the team best suited to keep the Rams, at least in the NFC, from going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Tampa Bay got their butts whipped, and I'm not going to take anything away from that. You know, Green Bay, I think we gave up on Aaron Rodgers, whoever we is. Some people gave up on Aaron Rodgers after week one. I don't think most of us did. So I think, you know, they're still going to have something to say about it. And San Francisco, by the way, put up some fight in that. I think that top to bottom, there's still a roster that can compete with pretty much anybody. If we would just stop talking about Trey Lance long enough to acknowledge that Jimmy G's playing well enough to win. I mean, I think there are a few teams in the NFC that can give them a battle. I just can't buy in yet on the Cowboys' defense. Let's see how they look over any sustained amount of time. But I feel like there are a handful of teams that can challenge the Bucs, and the Bucs, or I should say the Rams, and the Rams will go into the playoffs. You know, any given Sunday, I think, will matter in the NFC playoff structure for sure.
And then KC sitting at 1-2. We're going over to your division now. KC sitting there at 1-2. What's going on with them, Fitzy? Is this a deal where the rest of the league's caught up, or is it a deal where KC always thinks it can dig out of any hole, and here lately it's finding that it can't? What's wrong?
It's carelessness with the football, you know, and I mean, I saw somebody tweet yesterday, and I don't think it's as simple, but like the book's out on Mahomes, you just wait long enough and he'll try too hard to make him a play and eventually make a mistake. Now, I'm not going to make that sweeping generalization, but for sure, this is a team that is used to, over the last several years, if you give Mahomes the ball with, you know, 4 minutes left, they're going to come back and win the game. They've had two games now in a row where they have found a way to lose the game at the end, and that's stunning to see from a team that just doesn't seem to be particularly careful with possession of the football. You can't turn the ball over the way they're turning the ball over and survive it if you're not drastically better than everybody else. And I'm not sure now that they haven't come back to earth a little bit, not because they're not so very good, but the Chargers are a really solid team top to bottom. I mean, you look at that roster, they are very good. So I think the Chargers reminded us that, you know, they're not to be messed around with. And the Chiefs reminded us that, like most football teams, they're human sometimes. They turn the ball over. I'm starting to feel nervous for the first time in 2 years about the greatness of the Chiefs because of the way they're turning the football over.
Yep, it is. It has been something to watch. We're talking to Jason Fitz. Catch him on Spain and Fitz every night here on ESPN Radio, 93.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Raiders 3-0. They made it way more interesting than it ever needed to be, but they are moving to 3-0 the first time since, of course, 2002. When they went to the Super Bowl. Does the same fate await them in 2021, Fitz?
No, I don't think this is a Super Bowl team, but I'm darn sure this is a playoff team. And I'll say this, like, when you're relying on young players make mistakes. And this game got more complicated because Max Crosby made a boneheaded mistake. Trayvon Mullen made a pass interference near the end of the game. We saw a few mistakes from big young players that are making big contributions. That's the up and down of it. And, you know, kudos to the Dolphins for having a great game plan. Because of injury and late in the game, there were some players on the field for the Raiders that I didn't think would see the field at all this year, and Miami attacked them right away, and it was great work by them. But ultimately, you can't have it both ways. I mean, this is a Dolphins team that spent more money in the secondary than anybody before last season. Their defense, one of the best in the NFL, we know that. And then their offense, I was told all week, was going to be better because of Jacoby Brissett. So now, you can't turn around and say, well, it was a backup quarterback. You can't make that argument out of both sides of your mouth. So I think the Dolphins are a fringe-type playoff team that gave the Raiders everything they could handle, and the Raiders found a way to win that game. So a lot of kudos to the organization, and now all of a sudden Monday night you get Chargers-Raiders, and I think a game that is definitely proven for both teams. That's the big game of the week. Like, Monday night is going to be a epic. Like, that's WrestleMania coming up.
It is. It is. Look, every now and then at WrestleMania, you'll see a wrestler perform who's, like, way past his prime. You know, you watch him and you're like, it's time to hang it up. And that's how I feel when I watch Ben Roethlisberger play football right now. Why are we going to do this for 14 more games? I mean, it just couldn't be. He's falling all over himself. He can barely throw the ball down the field. Like, the offense is anemic. Why not just do what Vontae Davis did and retire mid-game?
I think because as much as that would be an amazing story, I think if you're Ben, you sort of held the organization hostage the last few years with are you playing, are you not playing, and what's the future going to be? And if you're the Steelers, you didn't address the future. And I think this is one for an organization that gets so much credit for how they manage their team. This is one of the most gross mismanagement things we've seen in a long time. They have no idea what their future is going to be at quarterback. I mean, maybe you could make the argument that the best thing to do for the quarterback position would be to have him sit out, because I don't believe they have anybody else on the roster that can win games. And maybe they lose enough then to get a high first-round draft pick and try and address it. But I'm stunned that the Steelers let themselves get into this situation. As much as Najee Harris was, I think, a really solid draft pick, I thought last year as Justin Fields started to fall that they might try and move up and get themselves into that situation. They have not addressed the most important position on the field. And now Steelers fans are going to have to deal with, for the first time in a generation, going into a season where they have no idea if they have a quarterback or not. And when you don't have a quarterback, you ain't winning games. Like, this isn't just about this year. I think by the end of the year, I said coming into the season, by the end of the year, Ben would be the worst quarterback in the division. By the end of the year, you could make an argument that the five-year plan looks worse for Pittsburgh than it does for anybody else in that division, which is stunning to say given how stinking good their defense is.
Fitzy, I don't want to waste too much of your time on a dog like the Bears, but obviously, was that not evidence, that game, the 9 sacks or whatever it was on Justin Fields, what was it, 47 total yards, that Matt Nagy is in over his head and that threatens to ruin a second straight first-round quarterback? I mean, they got to get him out of there, Fitz.
Yeah, one passing yard. Oh. I mean, that was atrocious. And I'll say one or two. If you're Matt Nagy, what you're coming out and saying is, guys, I told you he's not ready. I mean, that's what we saw. He's not ready. And our offensive line isn't ready. He will get there. He will get ready. But that doesn't excuse that effort. I mean, my fantasy football team appreciated it because, frankly, I went into the game thinking Nagy's going to blow this. So I went out and got the Bengals defense. Smart. Not many people were looking at that one. So it was a big benefit for me. But realistically, you don't get to blow two starting quarterbacks. And if I'm the Bears, and I know that, you know, I saw this morning Keyshawn said you don't fire a coach 3 weeks in. Why not? I mean, what I don't want to do is take any chance that there's a single day that he's coached in a way that makes him worse. Yeah. So if he's not ready, then you got to ask yourself why and how much responsibility Nagy takes in that. If that's their version of ready, you got to ask yourself why and how much responsibility Nagy takes in that.
I think you're absolutely right. And then top four, Fitzy. Who's Fitzy's top four in college football? I can't figure it out. Every time I think I've got it pegged, somebody loses or goes out. Who's your top four in college football right now?
Yeah, so I think it's easy that it's Alabama, Georgia, 1 and 2. And frankly, after last week, I could almost be persuaded to switch Georgia into number one. Oregon doesn't get a lot of love, but they deserve it because they are absolutely a team that's capable of being physical and a team that's capable of spreading out. They play really good defense. I think Oregon deserves to lose some of that Pac-12 sort of musk that's on them. So the question is, who's the fourth best team in the country? And I honestly went into Saturday thinking Iowa had the chance to sort of prove that. I walked away from Saturday thinking, I don't know that Iowa has the team speed to compete with the best of the best. Mm-hmm. So I'm right now, I mean, I think it's a toss-up between Cincinnati and Arkansas. And I know that sounds crazy recency bias with Arkansas, but that Arkansas defense is spectacular. I can't wait to see him this weekend. So yeah. I think Cincinnati has a real shot at the playoff. But by the end of this year, Iowa, Penn State, they're going to neutralize each other. I wouldn't be surprised to see Arkansas lose a game. There's going to be a few other SEC teams that lose other games in the process.
Right.
And Cincinnati's going to be sitting here saying, maybe all we beat was a bad Indiana team and a so-so Notre Dame team, but that was enough. I think Cincinnati's getting in the playoff.
They got a shot.
Last thing, Fitz, I actually happened to be watching Clemson play this weekend, and I was struck. I was struck by how bad. I mean, I'd heard, you know, you see the numbers, you know, how bad the Clemson offense was, of course, the opening game against Georgia. But that was not Georgia on Saturday. That was NC State. And yet it was just, how is it possible that we can name 5 or 6 AAC teams who have better offenses than what Clemson has right now? How is this possible?
Yeah, I mean, this has been the great fail, and Orlovsky's been saying repeatedly, look, Clemson's offense has been bad for years. They've just had enough talent to make up for it, but we're seeing it right now. And DJ Uiagalelei and his lack of ability to actually process quickly and know where he wants to go with the football is one of the most shocking stories of the early portion of the college football season. I mean, they've still got guys there that are supposed to be capable of getting open, and they're playing against lesser talent. They're being out-schemed, and DJ looks lost. So I am stunned that everybody keeps saying that, well, the offense will figure it out. No, I don't think they will. I don't think DJ's good enough. And by the end of the year, this will have turned out to be a wasted year for Clemson and a real eye-opener. Like, Clemson's going to have to quickly prove that they can bounce back, because you don't see a two-loss, three-loss, four-loss season from a team like Alabama more than once in a generation, right? So you don't see two losses more than once in a generation from Saban. So how does the other wonder coach react from a year that has obviously gone off the rails? I think it's going to be the most interesting story of the offseason.
Fitch, you're the man. Appreciate the
congrats
time.
Congrats on 3-0,
always.
Brother.
3-0 feels good, man. Thank you.
You guys are the best. Have a great week.
Yep, too.
He is Jason Fitz. Catch him on Spain and Fitz every single night here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN.
I saw a tweet from, you actually pointed it out, from Darren Revell, who now is at the Action Network. He's bouncing around, right? But he's at the Action Network now. And he tweeted last night, amount I wagered on NFL games today, $3,525.
Oh, Lord.
Amount I netted, $31.14. And people are, like, tweeting him and saying, you know, what? That's ridiculous. You bet all that money just to win $31. And what I would say to those people, he won $31. He bet $3,500. He won money. Now I'm imagining that
wouldn't you say that that's a lot of stress for $35, though? $31, whatever it is.
No questions asked.
That's a lot of sweating, I'm sure, in some of that, right?
But some people look at that as entertainment.
As fun, which he sort of says in the tweet, right?
Yeah. Now, you know, There's two ways to do this, right? Like Jeffrey Wright, for example, he puts out 20, like last week it was 22 different plays. And I'm assuming he put a unit on each one of those plays.
What's a unit for Jeffrey Wright?
I don't know. You have to ask him.
Because you've established that the unit is different for each individual
better.
So what's the unit for a regular better?
Let's say for Jeffrey Wright, I don't know this, but let's say it's a unit is $50, right?
And I heard him say he puts the same thing on each game.
So 22 times 50, that means that Jeffrey put 1,100 in play. If he did all those bets, right? And I don't know if he. I think he was 10-12 this weekend.
Yeah, he was 4-1 on NFL though.
If he's 10-12,
he's 10-12 on college.
That means he lost, I believe, you know, a little more than $100 because you pay the vig, right? Even when you win, you don't get. It's not plus 100. Most of those -110. Let's just say -110.
Yep.
So you'll have lost, you know, approximately 2.2 or 2.3 units, but like. The way I look at gambling, honestly, and betting on sports is, you know, if I'm sitting at home on a Saturday night, I was going to spend $100 on entertainment one way or the other. I might as well give myself a chance to win it. And if I don't, whatever. It was a night out on the town, bro, like in the past life. If I do win it, now Riley gets more diapers.
Here's the way I look at it. Just give me something so I can win a little gas money on Patty Padlock's next one.
Oh, yeah. You know Patty going to have a padlock
for
you.
Two in a row?
Two in a row. We're going for three.
Coming on Friday?
Yes. All right. Patty's padlock going to be on Friday.
I think that's smarter.
Yeah. So we have all the up-to-date information.
All right.
But, yes, we're going to get you 3-1. We're going to continue to get that pizza money, gas money, whatever you need.
Thank you very much.
That's going to do it for us. Catch Dallas Cowboys right here on 92.9 FM ESPN tonight. It's a big one. It's a big division game tonight. Thanks, of course, to John Morant. Thanks to Taylor Jenkins. Thanks, Dylan Brooks, for joining us. Jason Fitz. Gino and Jeffrey up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.